Body's good. Let's try that again. God is good. All the time. God is good. Amen. Brothers and sisters of Catalyst, I am so thankful and excited to be able to speak to you once again about a topic that I'm very passionate about, and that topic being stewardship, or God's way of managing money. So the last time I spoke, which was about a year ago, I talked about stewardship in terms of why giving is important, why God wants us to give, and why we need to give. So today's sermon will be a continuation of that. And since there are so many newcomers to our church, and I'm sure most of you have forgotten what I preached about, I'm going to mention some of the key points from the previous message. By the way, I'm not going to be mad at you for forgetting my awesome message, because my wife, Jiwon, she barely recalls what I talked about. So the title of today's message is called, Let Us Love to Tithe. Let Us Love to Tithe. And the message was inspired by Dave Ramsey and Pastor Barry King from Symphony Church in Boston. And the scripture comes from Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. It says, Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that there will not be room enough to store it. So as many of you know, I'm a doctor of dental surgery. I'm just a dentist. And as I'm sure many of you also know, that most people avoid going to the dentist unless it is absolutely necessary, because dentists are one of the most dreaded, feared, detested, despised, and hated professionals out there. I know this fully well because many of my new patients tell me and remind me almost each and every day. So this is a typical interaction that I would have with my new nervous patients. Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, I'm Dr. Kim. Welcome to welcome to my office. And then the newcomer, new patient, would respond by saying something like, No offense, Dr. Kim, but I hate you. I hate the dentist. I hate coming to the dental office, and I don't want to be here. And after listening to this, I would say to myself, What the? You know, why would you say this? What did I ever do to you? We just met. I mean, think about it. Let's say our loving, caring Pastor Sam is trying to welcome a newcomer to our church. Hi, I'm Pastor Sam. Welcome to CAC. And the newcomer says, Pastor Sam, I hate you. I hate the church. I hate this. I don't want to be here. I don't know why I came. Don't you think our loving, caring Pastor Sam might temporarily lose his mind and go insane? So it's no wonder that dentists have one of the highest rate of anxiety, depression, and suicide rate in America. So Catalyst, can you please pray for me? For my well-being and safety? So in the beginning of my dental career, this interaction would really bother me a lot. But now I accept that as part of my job, and I ask God for patience when I'm dealing with crazy patients. But with all the kidding aside, why would patients feel this way and say these things? Well, the obvious answer that I could come up with are, one, patients fear the dentist. They fear the process of being drilled, filled, and billed, the trifecta of dentistry. Secondly, patients don't trust the dentist. Patients think all dentists are evil monsters that are trying to hurt them purposefully, and we get enjoyment out of it. And third, patients don't understand or don't want to understand that dentists are doing their best to help them. You know, it's not easy to work on someone that is very nervous and that's already in pain. So I think because of patients' fear, lack of trust, lack of understanding are some of the reasons why people avoid going to the dental office. Now, this might be or might not be a little bit of a stretch, but in terms of tithing, I believe many Christians avoid tithing due to similar reasons as many people avoid going to the dental office. Because of our money fears, because of our lack of trust in God with our finances, and because of our lack of understanding of ownership, stewardship, relationship, are the reasons why only 2.5 to 4.5% of Christians in America tithe. So before I dive into the message, let me make two things crystal clear. First, I do not subscribe to prosperity gospel. If your reason for giving is so that God will bless you financially, I think that is wrong. And secondly, we all know the subject of money is a very sensitive and personal issue. And we also know that money isn't everything, but money does a lot of things that directly impact our lives. So much so that the Bible talks about money more often than love and grace combined. So as we talk about this sensitive issue, my prayer for all of us here is to have an open heart for the Holy Spirit to speak to us rather than having a closed-minded and being offended. So here we go. First question, what is a tithe? Tithe comes from a Hebrew word, which literally means 10% of our income. Second question, what are we supposed to do with the tithe? Well, we Christians are supposed to bring the tithe and give to God through the local church that we attend. For us, it's this church, Catalyst. Third question, why should we do such a crazy thing like that? Simple, because God said so in the Bible. I mean, you're not going to argue with God, are you? So Catalyst, let's start tithing. And that's the end of my message. No. Obviously, there's more to it than that. In Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, it says, a tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain or fruit, is the Lord's, and it is holy. So as we all know, our God is a generous God. And in the Old Testament, God has commanded the Israelites the practice of tithing so that they'll learn the importance of giving. But that's not all. Okay, listen carefully now. Not only a more important lesson that God wanted to teach was not only to be generous through tithing, but more importantly, the purpose of tithing was trust. Trust God that everything we have comes from Him. Trust God that through tithing, there is a promise of blessings through tithing. And trust God that 90% of our income plus His blessings are far better, far greater than 100% of our income alone. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, 23, it says this, the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives. So going back to the third question, why do we need to tithe? The tithing shows God that we trust Him. And through tithing, God is teaching us how to be generous, how to give, and how to be more like Him. And that's because one of the fundamental characteristics of our Father in heaven is that He is a giver. And this is clearly stated and written in the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Brothers and sisters of Catalyst, I would submit to you that our Father in heaven is a giver, that He gave us the ultimate gift in Jesus Christ, and Jesus in turn gave His life for us, for our sins. There is no gift that is greater than this in the history of the universe. So if we believe that we are created in God's image, and we call ourselves Christians because our goal is to be like Christ, a Christ follower, then tithing should come natural. So every time we participate in active tithing, we are trusting God and allowing God to change our hearts into God's giving nature. Through tithing, our hearts are transformed from being selfish to selfless, giving nature. And through this transformation, our hearts become like God's giving nature, and we get to experience the joy of tithing. So you see, the tithing is not about being legalistic or how well we follow God's command. Ooh, if I tithe, I'm a super duper goody Christian and God's going to love me and He's going to give me more money. And if I don't tithe, God's going to hate me and I'm a bad and evil Christian and He's going to send me to H-E double hockey stick. You know? The truth is, the tithing was, and tithing will always be about our hearts, trusting God. So my question to you all of you is this. Do you trust God with your finances? Do you trust God in his promise of blessings when you tithe? Do you truly trust God, or is this something we just say? Okay, moving on to the fourth question. Then how do we tithe? Let me answer these questions by sharing a story that happened to me a couple years ago when my kids were a little younger. So I think Abby was 6 and Ben was 4. So one afternoon, I took them to McDonald's for lunch and I bought them Happy Meals. We sat down, we prayed, and they started eating right away without offering me anything. That's fine, whatever, I wasn't hungry. But the thing is, you know, the French fries, they look so good, right? So I asked each of them if I could just have one piece of French fries. So amazingly enough, they said yes. So Abby gives me this, a big, long, juicy, crunchy, crispy piece of French fry. So I said to myself, ah, that's right. She is Daddy's little girl. I am so thankful for her. And then Ben gives me this, small, burnt up, dried up, shriveled up, like someone stepped on piece of French fry. So I said to myself, ah, you ungrateful little mama's boy. I should have had another girl instead. So what's the point of this story? The girls are better than boys, right? No. Just kidding. Well, while Abby gave her very best piece of French fries, Ben, on the other hand, gave me his leftover. I know this is a funny story and all, but guess what? When it comes to tithing, many of us do the exact same thing. We give God leftovers. Basically, the way we tithe or give is this. First, we spend most of the money we make on ourselves, and at the end, whatever is leftover, we give to God, and we expect God to bless us based on our leftovers. I'm sorry to say this, but God doesn't do leftovers, and God shouldn't be getting leftovers from us. I mean, would you like it if someone gave you leftovers? So again, tithing is about trusting God and giving your leftovers. Doesn't take much trust at all. So the way we should tithe is this. As soon as we earn our income, the very first thing we do before we do anything else is to set aside the very first 10% of our income for tithing. Then this is called the first fruits principles, which is mentioned throughout the Bible with tithing together. So tithe is not just 10%, but tithe is the very first 10% of our income. We're giving God our very best, trusting God that remaining 90% plus his blessings are more than sufficient. By the way, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23, Apostle Paul describes Jesus as God's first fruits, which means that God gave us his very best for us because he loves us so much. So if you decide not to follow this first fruits principles, guess what's going to happen? You will always have an excuse either not to tithe or to give God our leftovers. Brothers and sisters of Catalyst, let's not give God our leftovers. Let's give God our very best because he gave us his very best, his son Jesus. Okay. The next, I'm going to ask and answer a bunch of other questions that are related to tithing. So question 5, part 1. Is tithing a must? Yes. But with that said, I believe that our salvation is not determined by tithing. Whether we tithe or not, our Father in heaven loves us no matter what. Whether we decide to tithe or not is totally between you and God based on your trust in him. Question 5, part 2, is there a difference between tithe and offering? Yes. Again, tithe is the very first 10% of our income. And anything above that, out of surplus, is considered offering. So we should tithe first and give offering out of surplus. Another difference between the two is that with tithing, you don't get to designate how it is spent. The church decides that. Versus with offering, because it is out of surplus, you can designate it, which means that, for example, let's say there's a a brother or sister that is struggling in our church and you want to help them, you could designate it so that your offering could go towards them or towards the mission field that you want to support. Question 5, part 3, can I tithe my time instead? Answer is no. We all know that time is money. And we also know that our time is very important. I'm sure God knows this and he appreciates that we're using our time to serve his kingdom. But the bottom line is our time doesn't replace tithing. Question 5, part 4. Do I tithe on the gross or the net? The ultimate Christian question. First of all, who cares if we tithe on the gross or the net? Many Christians don't do it anyways. You know, if we were to do either of them, it'll be a great improvement. And imagine how much more we could do for the kingdom of God. And secondly, do you want God to bless you on the gross or the net? You decide. Question 5, part 5. What if I'm afraid to tithe? Well, my first suggestion will be for you to pray to God and ask God to help you trust him. And secondly, if you ever thought of tithing or you wanted to tithe but you're just afraid to do so, I believe that God is calling you to test him. So my suggestion is, why not test God in regards to tithing? I mean, we read in today's passage in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring the whole tithe to the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. As you know, normally we're not supposed to test God, but with the subject of tithing is different. This is the only time in the Bible where God openly tells us to test them. So do it. Test them by tithing and see what type of blessing he pours out in your life. Question 5, part 6, the last question. What if I don't have the money to tithe? Well, the sad truth is that most of us have and make enough money. It's just that we don't know how to properly manage what God has given us. For example, we lack the discipline to delay our pleasures, so we end up spending money we don't have by borrowing it and getting into debt. And we get into this vicious money cycle where at the end we have no money to tithe or we give God our leftovers. If this is you, my suggestion is, learn about biblical finances by taking Financial Peace University. What if I really, really, really don't have the money to tithe? Then more of a reason for you to really, really, really take Financial Peace University the next time our church offers it. Oh wait, we are offering it in 3 weeks. So take the class, no more excuses. And since I mentioned it, let me do a quick promo for Financial Peace University. Financial Peace University is a class that teaches us how to be a good stewards for God's kingdom. If you are interested in learning about stewardship and biblical ways of managing money, if you are interested in learning about budgeting and getting out of debt, if you are interested in building wealth and becoming a generous giver, and if you are interested in changing your family tree so that your children and your children's children don't have to go through the money struggles you might be facing or going through right now, please, please take the class. I will guarantee you that if you take the class and apply the lessons you learn from the class, it'll change you. It'll work for you and your family. And you know what? And I know this because it is working for my family and other families that actually took the class and doing what they learned. And you know why this thing works? Because God's ways work. God's ways always work. And I truly believe that. So what are you waiting for? Take the class and let's become a great stewards for God's kingdom. Let me end the message by sharing my testimony of personal revival that I've been going through for the past several months. Through this experience, God has become so clear and so real and true in my life. So it all started one night when I was talking to my parents back in California. My parents and I, we have great relationships, and we talk a couple times a week. And I usually tell them about how I'm doing, how the kids are doing, and how my lovely wife is being so mean to me. But anyways, we usually end our conversation with my mom telling me that she loves me and that she and my dad are always and constantly praying for me. So I say thank you, whatever, you know, goodbye. You know, we hang up and that's pretty much it. But that night something was different after our conversation. I was thinking how God has blessed me so much. And I think one of the main reasons for his blessings is due to the constant prayers by my parents. And so I'm thankful and all, but I was thinking, shouldn't I be the one that is praying for myself, for my wife, my kids, and others? I mean, I do pray, but not really. You know what I mean, right? And around the same time, I was seeking God in my life because I was sick and tired of playing this Christian game. So one of the things that I started to do was to listen to as many different types of sermons as possible. So I was listening to Pastor Sam's old sermons, Pastor Keith's sermon from Southland, Pastor Young from GCC, Pastor Rick Warren from Saddleback, and many others. And there was this one particular sermon that really challenged me and convicted me. So the message was about prayer, and the pastor was saying this: if you want to know how your spiritual life is doing, just look at your personal prayer life, and that'll tell you, your personal prayer life will tell you how much you love God. When no one is looking, when it's just between you and God, your personal prayer life will tell you where you stand before God. And the pastor continues to say this, when we become a Christian, most of us go through four stages of prayer life. The first stage, as an immature Christian, we pray because we are commanded to pray. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus tells us how we should pray in the Lord's Prayer. And as we continue to pray, we see that prayer is something good. Prayer is something that is needed. So in the second stage, we pray because we need to pray. We need to pray for ourselves, we need to pray for our family and friends and others. And then, as our prayer life continues to grow and now prayer becomes part of our daily lives. So the next stage of prayer, we pray because we want to pray. We want to have this personal relationship with our Father in heaven. And finally, when our prayer life matures to a point where we pray about anything and everything and each and every day, where no matter the circumstance, now we pray because we love to pray. We love spending time with God, no matter what, just having this relationship, personal relationship with Him. So, looking back at my prayer life, out of the four stages of prayer, where we pray because we are commanded to pray, we pray because we need to pray, we pray because we want to pray, and we pray because we love to pray. Out of the four stages, I'm ashamed to admit that I was somewhere between command and need, and more closer to command. And so when I realized this, I broke down right there and then and cried and repented. I asked God for forgiveness for not loving Him, and I recommitted myself to love Him and to pray and pray and pray. And I shared this with my wife, and she too repented because her prayer life wasn't much better than mine was. So from that point on, we both committed ourselves to pray each and every day about everything and everything, and that our house was going to be a house of prayer. And by the way, the power of prayer is, wow, it's just amazing and powerful. So now, I've been praying and fasting and crying out to the Lord each and every day because right now I'm praying for a personal breakthrough in my life. So I'm not still at the love stage of prayer yet, but definitely better than before. So why am I telling you all this? What does my story have anything to do with tithing, you might ask? Well, I think we could apply these four stages of prayer to different aspects of our Christian life, including tithing. For example, when we become a Christian, we tithe because the Bible commands us to tithe, as we saw earlier. And as we tithe, we see that tithing is good. Tithing is something that is needed for church to function. So we tithe because we need to tithe. And as we start to trust in God and to be generous, then we tithe because we want to tithe. We want our tithing to be a blessing for the kingdom of God. And finally, when we truly trust God that everything we have comes from Him, we truly trust in God in His promise of blessings through tithing, and we truly trust God in His that our finances is from Him, then now we tithe because we love to tithe. Brothers and sisters of Catalyst Agape Church, my sincere prayer, my sincere hope for our church is that our church, CAC, becomes a church that loves to pray about anything, everything, each and every day. That our church, CAC, becomes a church that loves to worship, no holding back. Our church, CAC, becomes a church that loves to read the word daily so that it will nourish our body every day, spiritual body. And our church, CAC, becomes a church that truly trusts God with our finances and love to tithe generously. So let us love to tithe. Let us love to tithe. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to praise you and worship you and thank you for giving us your very best in your Son, Jesus. Lord Father God, we confess that many times it is hard for us to give you our very best due to our lack of trust in you. Father God, will you not help us break down any strongholds that are preventing us from completely trusting you? Will you not help us to trust you in your promise of blessings? And will you not help our church, CAC, to become a church that loves to follow your ways? Thank you so much, Father God, for loving us. We love you, and we pray all these things in your precious Son's name. Amen.